T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Going to carry.
So many good teams are bad to start the season. Which one worries you the absolute most?
I hate to say it, but I think it might be the Cubs. That's because okay. The competition is going to be fierce. I mean, the Brewers and the Cardinals are really good teams. Yeah. It feels like the bloom is off the rose a little bit, but you root for the young guys to keep doing well. And as the season goes on, if the Cubs are in contention, and I think they'll be in contention. There's no funeral going on here. Then maybe they will make a trade. Maybe they will budget. Maybe it's that Kimbrel wants to draft. The compensation is not attached, will end up being a Cub, and that would help the team very much. Or maybe they'll go out and get a starting pitcher because Yu Darvish, I don't trust him anymore. You know, so you look for opportunities where they come, and you hope that the team doesn't lose touch completely with the division leaders, because obviously that would be the major problem that would sidetrack the team.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We will do the midway at 10:20, and we expect some Cubs surprises as well. But look at us. We are out. We are here at the Country Club,
yes.
3462 North Clark Street, as part of our Score Cubs opening day broadcast. And we are brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer Made Pure.
Your guys.
My guys. This is sort of like, it's like when the band that you saw at that club in college hits it big.
Yeah.
And you get to say that I was in on this before everybody knew about it. I was lucky enough to sort of experience White Claw back in the Midwest beta testing days when it showed up at some youth baseball games 3-4 years ago. And I'm thinking, ooh, what's this? And somebody involved is asking me, what do you think? What do you like? What flavors do you like? What is this? And I said, oh, this is going to be really good. And they can barely keep it in stock. It's so popular.
You should enjoy it, because there's going to come the moment where the bass player looks at you, gives you that little acknowledgement, just that little head nod, and you know that that's the last interaction you'll have with the band, because they're about to go to L.A. and make it big,
yep.
And then you just they're never going to remember all of the Dan
Bernstein. They're going to be on Kimmel and Fallon, yep. With the two, yep. Hits. And that's what's happened.
And you'll go to their big show, and you'll look, and you'll watch, and you'll tell your friends, but they're moving on.
They won't care. It's out of the club and into the mainstream, but yeah, White Claw is good stuff. What's in front of me? The black cherry? Yeah. The ruby grapefruit.
Ooh, I got a mango.
Ruby grapefruit is my absolute favorite, but this is it's terrific stuff. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score. You can email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or an opening day sext, feel free to do so, 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
It was a foul at the end of that Auburn game.
Yeah, no question. You can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We got a lot of people here working. We've got Rich Wyatt. Tito the Challenged is our engineer. Brian Gertsch has the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. It's actually here with this camera.
We brought the feed, huh?
Other cameras, yeah. Jay Zawoski, the executive producer, and then back at The Score Studios, Rick Camp, and the executioner in the back doing what he does, Ray Diaz. But these are nervous times around here. We get the excitement of opening day with the understanding of being in a place where this team has not been before. And I ask you this, when Theo Epstein stands up and takes the blame, he's there. He's visible.
Yes.
He's available. He's not hiding from anyone. He is there saying, yeah, it's on me. I found it interesting that he's taking responsibility, but he isn't necessarily owning the fact that maybe his urgency, maybe his decision to ratchet up some of the feelings might have backfired a little bit. That wasn't addressed directly.
It might have a little, but I got to tell you, Dan, over the weekend, with as many issues as came out of the bullpen each and every day against the Brewers, even in the game where you had a good bullpen day, you had a struggling Kyle Hendricks. I got to say that the narrative, the drive there, that's, to me, you lost a little bit of steam. You can't have that many walks. I mean, it's just impossible to have that many players come out and all feel the same tension and also struggle all at the same time. I'm talking about the pitchers, all 12, 13 of them, right? And now that you've added two more, now that you've demoted Carl Edwards, now that you've put Mike Montgomery on the injury list, you have made changes and still you've got walks coming out of the bullpen. I think that's the issue here, and as deflating as an issue as could possibly be for a ball club, it's walks. It's an inability to get the next guy out. It sets the defense back on your heels. It lets everybody wait around, and then you get lethargic, and you get scared, and you get tired, and you realize that even if you do score 10, you might lose by one. It's brutal.
Yeah, and it's coinciding with a season in which launch angle is being rewarded more than ever. And what they say, it's sort of like the way we talk about a wind-blowing-out Wrigley game when it's 6-5 in the third and the broadcasters inevitably say something like, well, it's going to take a lot more than six before we get out of here today. Because and when the ball is doing what it does, you can't walk people because any next swing of the bat is going to be a bunch of runs on the board.
It's worth 3 points.
Right, and it's anybody. It's not just the middle of the order now.
No,
when you got guys at the bottom of the order flicking the ball over the fence.
Well, it's complicated too. You're right. Every game feels like it's 1996 at Coors Field. Every game though that the Cubs have played, you've got issues like that where launch angle is going to get you. But then you've got pitches like Kyle Hendricks' 0-2 after the dropped Mark Zagunas foul ball in his first start. You got pitches like the one to Christian Yelich that was right down Broadway and got absolutely pummeled. The Cubs,
there's
as a
term
pitching
for
staff,
that kind of pitch,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, there is, and it can't be said on air.
What are they? Right over the old. Right over the.
Don't put it there.
Crows at sunrise.
Don't throw that there.
It's right over the thing that crows at sunrise.
So you can't.
Right? That's, yes. I think that you can say that.
The old nomenclature.
I don't mean the rooster.
Picture. I actually had longtime Braves manager Bobby Cox said that.
Aha. There you go.
Said that out loud.
Nicely done.
While
you're talking longtime Braves manager Bobby Cox.
That's right. Said
so
that
Bobby
phrase
Cox
once.
Said mm-hmm. that phrase.
He did?
Okay. Context is everything.
That's where I learned it.
Adventures in radio context.
So you're watching and you're thinking, okay, they have to live on the edges. They have to get ground balls. They have to do all these things. Tough things to do when you're not throwing 95, 96 miles an hour, and you put one right over the old, and it's going to go a long way, especially when you're doing it to a lineup that's as good as the Brewers lineup seems to be. It's tough to work around those margins.
Yeah, they're playing very confidently, and like I say, if you want to redline Josh Hader in the first week of April, go ahead and do it.
Here's my worry. What if he's not redlining? What if this is how Craig Counsell is now managing Josh Hader? That bullpen was hurt early enough. Corey Knebel went down. You had Jeremy Dreyfuss go down in spring training. It was hurt early enough to kind of reevaluate. When Len was talking about it with JD on the broadcast yesterday, some brilliant stuff. They always do have a good weekend, but they had a couple of different things they're just kind of talking about during games that brought up some really interesting thoughts about how that bullpen may be as dangerous as ever.
Bernstein and McKnight, come stop by. You're headed out to the ballpark. They got all sorts of breakfast sandwiches and things
there
here
is a
for
chicken
you.
And waffle sandwich back there that I have yet to get my hands on, but have been told is fantastic.
Really?
I think that's where I'm headed during our next commercial break. Before we get there, though,
I want to mention we're at Country Club, 3462 North Clark Street, here, sponsored by White Claw Hard Seltzer Made Pure.
Just to finish the point, Len and JD were talking about that Brewers bullpen, how dangerous it is, how Josh Hader can be that kind of guy that throws three innings. If that's the way they use him the rest of the, first half, before they get healthy, whatever, if they've just refigured when and how he gets deployed, it's still as dangerous a bullpen as ever because he can't get touched by righties or lefties. And that's where I look at this Cubs bullpen and think they look different than most other bullpens in baseball. You know, Alan Webster got called up after his sojourn in Japan and figuring things out. He was a former top prospect for the Dodgers and then the Red Sox for a little while. and he's the guy that throws 95, 96 out of the bullpen.
Well, Tyler Chatwood throws 95, 96. He just doesn't know where it's going.
He can't control it, and neither can Carl Edwards. So the guys that you do have that can get strikeouts with the kind of stuff that's featured around the major leagues right now are completely uncontrollable.
So how do you make it work?
Well, the rest of the guys have to throw with touch and feel, and that's a dangerous thing to play with when you're going up against divisional opponents that have strengthened their lineups as well as the Cardinals and the Brewers have.
Yeah, touch and feel ends up 4-30 in the seats too often.
That's what it looks like. Although I did think Wilson Contreras got that ball off Hader.
I did too.
I thought that was going to go.
Want to grab real quick Dennis in Lake Station, Indiana. Dennis, you're on the score.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up, Dennis?
Good show.
Thanks. What's up?
I got two questions for you. One about the pitching staff. And I listen to every game on the radio, and I watch it on TV, and I'm kind of concerned about next year about that new network. Do you have any information about what they might charge for those games?
I don't. What else you got? What's your other question?
The other question is about the bullpen. I'm going to say something very bad. You may not agree with me. I'm really disgusted with the front office of the Cubs. They wasted all their money on the renovation of Wrigley Field, where they should have went out and bought some good relief pitchers, and I'm kind of disgusted at what they did with their money.
It's not zero sum. It's not the same money.
They can do both.
Go Bears!
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Dennis.
Off and running.
There we go. Let's go.
Woo!
Bears Monday here on opening day for the Chicago
Cubs. It's a hell of a start. Nice to get the leadoff man on, Dan.
You go, we go.
Woo!
All right. We are looking forward to a Cubs surprise, we are told, on a day that should be full of them. So don't go anywhere. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Connor McKnight sampling the chicken waffle sandwich with the honey maple sauce.
It's so weird. This has got to be one of the weirder sauces I've ever had on a sandwich, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, you were responding
in a way that was crazy.
That's kind of genius.
It's almost like a sweet and sour kind of thing, but it's hot and spicy.
Yeah, it looks like Nashville hot.
But yeah, it's not.
But it's got like waffle as bread.
Usually what I do, it's a chicken and waffle kind of approach to things, and usually what I do with that is just drench it in maple syrup. This has like a hot honey maple sauce thing going on. It's fantastic. It's a Franken sauce.
And you can get it at the Country Club, 3462 North Clark Street in Chicago, where we are as part of the full score home opener thing. Mully and Haw and us, and then it's going to be Lawrence Holmes, and then it's going to be Zach Zaidman and the Cubs pregame, taking you right up to the start of the broadcast. You know, we were just talking a little bit during the break, too, about what's going on with the ball and how that's affecting things. But we have an opportunity now to talk to a new Cub who has seen some action early on, joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford 500 new and used vehicles to choose from, is Cubs rookie outfielder Mark Zagunas. Mark, how are you doing? Mark, are you there?
Oh, yep.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good, how you doing?
Excellent, fantastic. So, Mark, right off the top, got to ask you, I'm looking through the bio and trying to check out your time at Virginia Tech. I gather that you have to be Joe Maddon's emergency catcher in right now on the roster. Would that be right, or is that still going to be Kyle Schwarber?
I definitely could still get back there and catch if an emergency happens. I don't even know if he knows I caught in college. I mean, I'm sure he does, but hopefully that never needs to happen, you know?
Well, sure, hopefully, but if the occasion arises, if you guys are in like a 19-inning game, I have to imagine that that's something you'd want to go do. Do you have to lobby for that?
But if need be to help the team win, for sure.
What's the journey been like for you?
Yeah, he would.
I know he keeps that glove handy. But this season's been interesting to actually make the opening day roster. When in spring training did you get the sense that you had a good shot at this?
Honestly, I just kind of kept my head down every day and just tried to worry about, things I could control kind of thing. But towards the end, I mean, obviously when the move was made with Ian, I had a pretty decent sense that maybe that was something that I was going to get an opportunity with just by kind of counting the numbers out and position players left late in camp.
How did you balance it, and who did you talk to first in the family when you found out you were going to break camp opening day?
Definitely my dad, but then obviously I talked to my mom as well, but my dad's definitely my biggest fan, so it was really cool to reach out to him and let him know.
It's incredible the amount of resources you have at your disposal to prepare as a major league hitter. The amount of information that you have on opposing pitchers and the amount of information you now have on your own swing with all of the motion capture and Kinetrax and everything else. Is you ever get overwhelmed with it, and how do you balance doing the appropriate amount of work without making sure that you don't get too much in your head?
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone's a little different individually. I think, like, sometimes when I'm struggling or going bad, I look at too much video. You know, I'm trying to break down things that I shouldn't even be worrying about, if that makes sense. And I think a lot of us do that. It's just kind of like our nature to, like, go check.
Be.
Yeah, to go check, you know, video when we're going bad instead of just kind of trusting our abilities and going out there and competing.
So but what advice do you seek out then? When you say it's something that you don't need to do, is that something where Poach will say, don't worry about that, let me worry about that, you just feel it? Or, I mean, how do you control the inflow of information so it works best?
Well, for me, I just like to, for, you know, some of the resources we have with the pitchers that we're facing, I like to just know kind of velocity and things like that. But I try to not look too much into video when I'm hitting, so I think it's just a individual kind of preference.
How have you, we're talking with Cubs outfielder Mark Zagunas here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We're live at the Country Club, 3462 North Clark Street, for the Cubs home opening broadcast. Wonder, Mark, the lineups are now sent out like a series in advance, so you know the next 3 days if you're in, if you're out, if you've got the likelihood to come in and pinch hit or something. Do you said you check out velocities of guys and things like that. Are you able to work ahead on days like that and check out probable starters? Or do you leave that to still your day of kind of scouting reports and pitching reports?
A little bit of both. Yeah, like knowing the lineup ahead of time is huge. You know, the night before you can, you know, maybe look at more video of the starter for tomorrow. Or in my case, like, I'm more focused on the relievers today, you know, because if I'm getting in the game, most likely I'm not going to be facing the starter. So I think it's really beneficial for us, and it'll definitely pay out over the long period of time.
Who in the clubhouse during this difficult start have you looked to who carries themselves in a way to show that it is all going to be okay? You know, because I think fans are incredibly nervous. We've been projecting a lot of that nervousness on the start. But who is there among your teammates who provides that kind of stability in a time of trouble?
A ton of guys. You know, Jay Hay, Rizzo, KB, Lester. I mean, they all, you know, every day, keep going, everything's going to be okay. I mean, we're putting in the time, and, you know, we all trust in each other. So, I mean, there's so many incredible leaders on the team in different ways. So, I think everyone's confident. Yeah, I mean, this isn't the start that we want, but I think we're playing some good games. So, I think it'll start turning around for us.
I know you've only had a couple of at-bats in the big leagues before, a little bit in 17 and 18, and here's your first real long extended run. But how do you feel able to contribute to some of the, I don't know, accountability and leadership that was talked about so much as you guys broke camp, as to, you know, everybody was going to be a part of this. Everybody was going to pull some of this weight. It wasn't going to be on any one guy or just Joe or just Theo or what have you.
Yeah, in camp we all kind of talked about everyone being able to hold each other accountable regardless who that is, you know. So, I mean, it's obviously not easy for a younger guy like me to go up to one of the veterans and tell them what they're doing wrong. But, I mean, that's how much of leaders they are, and they want to be accountable as well. So I think just it's an all-around kind of thing. We all want to win. We all want to compete and for each other and for the team.
What is your favorite single major league creature comfort that really sets it apart from even AAA baseball? One thing where you say, oh, we get this at this level that makes it feel luxurious.
I would say, like, the private planes. I mean, AAA is kind of tough with the the flying and early morning flights, I mean, just that alone is pretty special for me.
Mark, we really appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That is Mark Zagunas of the Chicago Cubs.
Not in the lineup today, but checking out a bunch of relievers, and I would imagine that is, you know, when we looked at, like, getting lineups in the series prior, the idea that Joe was going to let everybody know where you're playing and how you're playing and all that kind of stuff a couple of days beforehand, the focusing on relievers is an interesting aspect for me because, you know, Mark's got something to do even if he's not in the lineup. He knows where his pinch hits might come around and what pockets he might be assigned in the game, and it goes for a lot of Cubs hitters. You saw a couple of good pinch hits.
Maybe we could rub off on him like we did with David Bodie last year, because if you are a...
That helped.
If you're a longtime listener of the Bernstein McKnight show, you know, over a year now,
so many shows,
that we had David Bodie on a couple of times, had some fun conversations with him when we were doing our show at Gallagher Way,
yeah,
and then he kind of got good.
Real good.
He started doing a bunch of really good things, and we took credit for it. And we told him
we do.
That we took credit for it. So we're hoping that that sustains, and maybe we will have the kiss of life for one Mark Zagunas.
It can help. The offense has been pretty good, but, you know, offense around baseball has been pretty hot, man, or at least in terms of walks and homers. I just looked it up. Somebody had tweeted at both of us a little while ago, just before the show, and I wanted to get the newest numbers. After yesterday's slate of games, there have been 2,300 hits in Major League Baseball. That's all across the entire schedule, the whole slate.
And very few of them have been singles.
So few of them. But there have been 2,495 strikeouts. There are more strikeouts than hits in Major League Baseball.
That happened last year.
That's just any kind of hit. Yeah.
The first time that curve inverted was last year.
Huh. And it seems on pace to do it again. There's been 1,032 walks. That's the highest rate since the 99-2000 season, and it looks like that rate is going to stay right there. And you mentioned the baseball and what's been done or not done or admitted or not admitted about it. That kind of thing affects pitchers. That kind of thing affects hitters as well. And you got to wonder if at some point you're throwing below the hitting velocity. And if you're throwing 94, 95 below that, maybe the physics aren't helping you as much as they may be helping hitters, as much as they might be helping guys that are dealing at 96 and 97 and working sliders. If you're trying to sink the ball and move it away, that could be more difficult to do with this baseball.
And think of it that way. And if you actually look, Sahadev Sharma, our guy, did a nice job in The Athletic trying to pinpoint and actually diagram where Kyle Hendricks' pitches. We talk about, look, let's just use him as a sort of a non-neutral example here, yeah, as someone who relies on the movement more than he does on the velocity. And when the movement isn't there, he isn't going to have a very easy time being good at baseball. And it's the movement isn't there. His sinker is up. His changeup is up. Now, the question is, we would need to go into spin rate, because it could, if the spin rate is the same, then you wonder, why is the ball not sinking as much as it would otherwise be if spin rate is constant? An answer could be slippery baseball.
Could be.
Could be. I'm not saying it is, because over 60 feet, it's not the same as over 400 feet as far as the results of slipperiness.
Right.
But it is a worry to me. This is when we, you know, Joe Sheehan is going to join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Has said that there was one study when the last time we saw the drag coefficients change in this way, that they think it was the actual thread that was being used to make
right.
the seams of the ball. That whatever the composition was of the thread created a more aerodynamic baseball. But until proven otherwise, I'm allowing for this to be an issue. If he's still spinning the ball out of his hand, same velocity, same spin, but the movement isn't there, I don't know what you do.
Fact is, pitching's been bad enough that you look for reasons everywhere you can, anywhere you can. And while the bullpen has been bad, Sahadev wrote this the other day, in 6 of their 9, a starter for the Cubs has failed to reach it out past the 5th. This is, like we talked about during Scorehouse Week, it's a team that's constructed to get long starts from its starters. Long starts relative to 2019 baseball. I'm not talking 8 or 9. I'm talking old Hoss Radburn type stuff. I'm just, like, see the 6th inning now and again would be wonderful. That limits the exposure, like, literally limits the number of outs that you've got to cover with a bullpen that doesn't throw the way most of the bullpens across Major League Baseball do.
Yeah, this was...
That's necessary for them.
Old-fashioned starting rotation. This is a very old-fashioned, old-school starting rotation. You look at what Tampa's been doing. That's your next level. That's your next wave. And we sort of derisively had that term bullpenning. It's going to go so far beyond that so quickly. Your pitching is just going to be pitching.
Yeah.
And you're just going to use pitchers in times, in certain groups. You're going to piggyback this guy and this guy. Everything is going to be versatility and leverage. And it's going to be, at this moment, I need this out or these outs.
It feels that way, and that's what makes the Cubs' inability over the last couple of years to the inability of developing pitching internally, developing those high-velocity type guys, the guys that have those ridiculous gif-able pitches,
mm-hmm.
those dudes don't exist in the system, or at least not in the way that you've seen them come up through other teams. It's just not the same.
We had some callers lined up when Zagunas dropped by, so feel free. 312-644-6767. We are discussing the Cubs. I know there are some White Sox fans that are encouraged by some individual strong starts there. And
how could you
three
not
victories.
Be?
There are definitely some encouraging things to discuss. I was dancing to Taylor Swift yesterday.
Okay.
Yep.
What?
I was
cool.
Commanded.
Cool.
Sure.
Cool.
I was commanded to dance, a choreographed dance to Taylor Swift, and I did, because that's what you do when in Rome.
Were you at a Taylor Swift show?
I was kind
very
of
confused as
it,
to
it,
what
kind
your
of.
Weekend
it was
like.
Sort of it was sort of a simulated Taylor Swift show.
Did you go to a high school party in 2014?
No,
What did you do last weekend?
Just down the road, just over here on Southport, I danced. I went to a themed spin class, and I lived through it, and it's all good. We also have to get to the performance of a baseball player, and we're running out of superlatives here, but something is happening again.
Yeah.
That is of note, to say the least.
He's a guy worth watching. We'll tell you who he is when we come back. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.